This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. And it's that time of year when our favorite holiday foods and meals are coming back up in our recipe rotation. For a lot of us, that could mean classics like pumpkin pie, gingerbread cookies, or maybe tamales for those in Latin American culture, or latkes for our Jewish neighbors celebrating Hanukkah. We asked our texting group about their favorite holiday foods. Christopher in Brimfield said he likes cranberry salad, cheesy potatoes, and German chocolate cake. Sarah in Rockford said, "One thing I hate but Grandma always put out was green jello and carrots." Also, it seems like the top three foods all year round are pumpkins, potatoes, and tomatoes. Always have those at any family gathering and in the garden, she said. For the rest of the hour today, we're going to be talking about this and more with Illinois-based chef Ken Polk. He has a YouTube channel known as Kenspiration Kitchen.
Here we go. Got a nice sear on that in my nice cast iron skillet. You see? So this is a different kind of, this is a rolled steel pan. It's like a wok. Okay. That's the big version of this. Okay. That's raw unseasoned. That's well seasoned.
Oh man, cast iron skillet. I could use some advice with that. Ken Polk joins us now. Ken, welcome to the 21st show. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure is all ours. Let's enjoy it. happy holidays to you.
You too. And listeners, if you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. All right, let's just talk about holiday foods. You have a favorite holiday food and an all-time Ken Polk must-have?
Holiday food for me in my house would have to be the dressing. It has to be dressing because I only get dressing twice a year.
I feel you. Yeah.
I only get it on Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, maybe. But definitely Thanksgiving. So it's the only time of year that I get it.
What makes the Ken Polk signature or the Polk family signature dressing?
My mom makes it. That's what makes it so very special. She makes it, and it's one of those things that I refuse to make as long as we have my mom. So like I will cook, I will just about cook anything else, but I will not cook that. I got the recipe. But it's like one of those things that's so very, very special. It's like, leave it alone. Let it be what it's going to be.
I hear you on that. There is something special about mom's dressing, 100%.
And I dread the day that I have to make it.
Fair. Yeah, we used cornbread in our recipe this year, which really elevated the sweetness of it. Why do you think food stands out? Holiday food in general. Why is food so important this time of year?
Because food is love. Food is the best way to tell somebody I love you. And so it's one of those things that after a busy summer of everybody ripping and running and going to wherever they could, hopping on planes and going traveling and doing all that stuff, people tend to settle down for the holidays and hunker in because it's getting cold out, it's getting chilly out, and we just want to be comforted. And so food is like a big hug from a loved one. And so that's why it's literally called comfort food, because it's a big hug from a loved one. And there's no better time to get that than during the holidays, which is also poignant, because it is during this time that most people go through seasonal depression. And it is also the time of year where most people experience loss. We get a lot of people who are no longer with us during this time of year. So food is very, very comforting. And then it reminds us of when times were much simpler. When you just come downstairs and the food was ready, you didn't have to go out and work for it or do anything to get it. It's just those smells come back and it takes you back to when you were a little kid or your childhood or a simpler time or a happier time. So,
yeah, yeah. All right. So what are some of your other favorite foods? We talked about the dressing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Macaroni and cheese. Macaroni and cheese. My brother fries the turkey. My sister does the ham. It's a communal effort. The cakes, the pies, the sweet potato. I heard you mention pumpkin pie. Well, in the African American community, we generally don't do pumpkin. We do sweet potato. We do sweet potato pie. But we also do all kinds of cakes: 7-Up cake, caramel cake, crumb cake, pineapple upside down cake. Pick a cake, you name it, we eat it. So, cakes and pies is. Tis the time of the year for cakes and pie is abundant. in no small portions either. Just give me half a pie. I'm just joking. I'm not eating half a pie.
Well, and I want to come back to the healthy eating and the unhealthy side of holiday eating, because I know that's a concern of yours. But you mentioned, did you say your brother fries the turkey? What do you think of frying turkeys?
So we went through several iterations of what would happen with the turkeys for holiday gatherings. And we just basically settled on he's frying them. That's it. it takes the least amount of time. It takes a little bit of preparation beforehand, but it doesn't take up the entire stove or oven for the day of turkey making. And we love the way it turns out. It's extra tender, it's extra juicy. So that's what we settled on, because we used to roast them. Of course, my mom still roasts some turkey to get the stock for dressing, but the turkey that we eat as a family for the gathering is fried by Monsieur, my brother. And that's a beautiful thing. Because we don't have to think about it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just saying, all right. So we have holiday foods. One important element of this, I think, is so many of the foods are derived from what was seasonal back in the day when we could only get foods in season, right? Pumpkins, sweet potatoes, yams. Talk about that and what we've lost now that we can get, you know, strawberries in December. And how we should think about, you know, how shopping, you know, the trip to the grocery store kind of can be a basis for how we think about what we eat at this time of year.
Absolutely. So I would venture to say that if you can get it year round, you shouldn't eat it year round. Like when you go to the store right about now, you would almost be a fool to pick up a watermelon. And in terms of berries, one of the major reasons that the cranberry sauce that goes with the dressing, or whether people get it out of a can or they make it fresh, is because cranberries are very, very high in antioxidants, and this tis the season for them to really, really, you know, get the really, really good flavor from them. But not strawberries. So no, unless you live in California. But other than that, you know, you want to stick to things that are coming into season. One thing that you'll very rarely see is like a persimmon. But citrus is still in season, because citrus obviously grows year round in Florida and California. But I think grapefruits and stuff like that, the little cuties and clementines, tis the season for those. And it's good for us because they have a lot of the vitamin C that we need to help keep us healthy during this time when it's flu season, cold season. You know, all of those infirmities that we have to fight off. And so you want to get the things that are going to help you fight those off. And those things are generally going to be not as sweet, a little bit more tart. Things that have more antioxidants in them are going to be a little bit more tart than sweet. So that's what we tend to go for. And those root vegetables, which are going to be very, very impactful. Like we talked about the yams and the tubers, the roots and the tubers.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things you tend to go for. And I would venture to say people probably gravitate more towards turkeys because they stretch a long, long way. You know, and, you know, fowl, guinea fowl, like, well, not guinea fowl, like ducks and the little hens, the little Cornish hens that you can prepare very, very easily. And roasting. So those are the cooking methods that we go to. Less grilling, because who's outside unless you're a tailgater on a day-to-day basis at the grill? Most people are inside roasting and getting all those nice smells in the house. But when you go to the supermarket, you definitely want to eat your colors, your reds, your greens, go figure. Your reds, your greens, your oranges, your yellows, you know, switch it up so you're not eating the same color pattern every day, and that will help us maintain some semblance of health, like your green leafy vegetables,
mm-hmm.
like kale, spinach, and collards, and Swiss chard, rainbow chard, pick your chards. This is the time of year where those are going to be in abundance.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you are just joining us, this is the 21st show. We are speaking with Ken Polk. He's a chef based here in Illinois. He has a YouTube channel that's known as the Kenspiration Kitchen. If you want to join us today, you can do that by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We want to know, what are some of your favorite holiday foods or recipes? What do they mean to you? Do you have any food disaster stories or maybe unpopular opinions about holiday foods? And, you know, I'm also curious, what is the farthest you've gone outside your comfort zone to make a non-traditional dish? We're going to talk about that a little later, too. You can join us again. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Ken, you mentioned this idea of healthy eating and unhealthy eating. And how do you balance that sort of comfort, the enjoyment of so many of the foods that we grew up with, you know, with the nutritional side, you know, especially because we're indoors? Maybe we're not being as active this time of year.
Well, that is a very interesting question, because it's not easy, because it's something that everybody has to deal with. Because it's like as you grow up, you just want the sweet stuff. And they're always trying to shove some vegetables down your throat and you don't want them. But then once you get older, you come to the realization that maybe I need to be concerned with this fiber content. And maybe I shouldn't eat, you know, a whole pie in one sitting or multiple things. And so you kind of learn a little bit of balance as your metabolism changes as you get older. And so one of my trainings was growing up or in school and learning about nutrition was absolutely eating your colors. And so if everything that I'm eating is brown, meaning probably fried, then that's probably not going to do, or probably not going to bode well for my health. If I have an overabundance of sweets, I have to balance that with some things that are going to flush the sugar and or the things out of my system. So I am a spinach head. You would think I was Popeye, as much spinach as I eat. But I absolutely have to have the nutrients. And so unless we want to be taking, you know, an abundance of multivitamins, we can get those same vitamins in the natural packaging. And that, I think, is the better way to go, particularly because our food sources, the nutrients that we get in our foods today are not the same as our ancestors had. Just because of, you know, industrial farming and blah, blah, blah. I won't get into all that. But, you know, we definitely have to eat our colors. And if you're eating the same thing on a day-to-day basis, that's what your diet is. A lot of people think my diet is when I'm going to try to lose weight or whatever the case might be. No, your diet is what you eat on a day-to-day basis. And so oddly enough, I have my week broken up. I can only tell the day of the week by what I eat.
about that. What does that mean?
So yeah. A lot of people, Monday is meatless Monday. So that's when they will try to bulk up on a lot of vegetables. So I'll do about a good 70% of meatless Monday. I'm still probably going to have some meat. But Tuesday, I'm going to have some type of, it's Taco Tuesday around my house. And so it's going to be some form of corn-based, tortilla-based, in theory, Mexican, but not quite. It could be Caribbean. It could be whatever. But something of that, you know, that persuasion. So I know I'm going to get some peppers and some onions and some spices in that respect. Wednesday is usually going to be some form of pasta. Now, that could be anything, anything that is pasta related. And we only tend to think of pasta as the Italian version, which is wheat-based, but I also vary it up with the Japanese version or the Chinese version, which would be, you know, the noodles that they have and the spices that they have and the preparations that they have. And so it's basically, although it says pasta, it could be ramen, it could be spaghetti, it could be ravioli. And so I get to vary it up that way. And so I kind of pick and choose what I'm going to eat. And the day of the week kind of lets me know what my options are. Now, granted, it's not hard fast. And generally, I eat my seafood or my fish on Fridays. And so it kind of helps me vary up my diet and what we eat around these hip parts. And when I go to the market, when I go to the grocery store, and also I shoot my show on Thursday, and that's when I go to the market and it's free for all. You know, whatever at the market is saying, hey, take me, or let's play together, is what we're doing. And I encourage people to do that. Just go to the market, go to the store with an open mind and look and see what's looking good. And I'm always picking various colors and various colors and textures and sweetness levels, you know. So pick up the fruit, smell it, pick up the vegetable. Is it ripe? Does it feel firm and tender? Or if it's a root vegetable, like how big is it? Can you tell if it was harvested recently? You know, and so those are my guides. I go to the market and the market speaks.
All right, we are going to need to take a break here. Let me share another message we got from a listener. Karen in Champaign sent us a text that said, honestly, the hardest vegan dish is a lot easier than a turkey. This was in the context of Thanksgiving, but the hardest vegan dish is easier than a turkey with everything that goes into food safety, cooking, dealing with the organs and the carcass. Switching to being vegan opened me up to more herbs and spices, more attention to the seasonality of vegetables. It greatly reduced the amount of salt we consume and taught me that there are so many more ways to cook vegetables than boiling them and smothering them with Velveeta cheese. Thanks for that message, Karen. We are going to continue with Illinois-based chef Ken Polk when we come back. You can find him on YouTube. He's the host of Kenspiration Kitchen. And we're going to talk about maybe getting out of our comfort zones, making some new dishes this holiday season, how we might do that. Or also just dressing up some of the, you know, time-saving things that people do still use. I'm looking at you, popping fresh dough. That's all going to be after a short break. If you want to join us, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. More with Ken Polk when we come back. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. There's that macaroni and cheese we heard about. We are talking today about holiday foods with Illinois-based chef Ken Polk. You can join us at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Ken, I want to stick with that healthy eating theme because, you know, mac and cheese, you know, as far as my son, you can make the most gourmet mac and cheese, but if it doesn't come out of a blue and yellow box, it's just not the real thing for him, for my oldest son. You know, Doritos has generations of food scientists making them delicious. How do you compete with that?
Well, how do you compete with that? I think from an early age, you compete. If you're trying to win over young people, you compete starting at an early age with as close to the raw ingredients as possible, because the flavor is unmatched. Because understanding that everything that is processed is trying to make it taste like something that is not processed. So the simplest thing to do is to give them the things that are not processed as much, and they will love it. And they'll start to crave the natural thing. So, you know, that's why I was like, okay, every once in a while, just revert back to the raw or as close to it as you possibly can get it. So it's like, okay, take a carrot, put it in the oven, and roast it. You're going to get the natural sweetness out of it without having to add anything to it. Same thing with the sweet potato. If you just take a sweet potato by itself and put it in the oven and don't do anything else to it and let it just bake, and or if you put some oil on the outside of it, it'll roast. But if you just put it in the oven, it'll bake. You take that out and you taste that thing, and oh my goodness. Same thing with the regular potato. You take the potato and you throw it in the oven and let it bake, and oh my goodness. Granted, it's not the same texture as potato chip, but it is equally, if not as satisfying, just on a different way. And so, you know, like I've made Doritos from scratch. It's like you can actually make your own tortilla shells, and that is equally satisfying. And sometimes when you put in the work to make the product, it's like when you think about the ingredients that go into making these things, you can actually make them yourself if you're so adventurous, and not have to always rely on the processing. And sometimes it's just plain fun. You can like make a a night out of making a particular thing. Like you mentioned Doritos, like on one of the episodes, somebody came to Kinspiration Kitchen and they're like, what can you do with Doritos? And so we made a dish with the store-bought Doritos, and I actually made some tortilla shells and we made some tortillas and we fried them, and then I coated them with a mixture of pepper and spices, and we had our own Doritos. We made nachos out of that. And so that was a lot of fun. And so I think part of the show is showing people what can be done. And it doesn't take a long time, you know, just showing people what can be done and what it will taste like. And it's not that far from what you would buy, except for all of the preservatives and additives and things you can't pronounce.
All right, let me share an email we got from a listener, Rachel, in Memphis, Tennessee. Says the holidays Woo-hoo! Have to include Mama Stamberg's cranberry relish, thanks to NPR's Susan Stamberg. It's not just for Thanksgiving, she said. And we also have a caller on the line. Patricia is calling from Freeport on line one. Patricia, I understand you're new to Illinois, a relatively recent resident. Welcome.
Welcome. Yes, thank you, from Kansas City.
Excellent. So what means it? What is, talk about your adventurous holiday eating, or maybe non-traditional, as we might call it.
Well, I have a grandson who's married to a sweet little gal from Nepal, and they are both vegetarian. Ooh. She's Hindu and he's Buddhist. And I have a daughter who is recovering from Lyme disease. And so our holiday meal was vegetarian, with all kinds of beautiful salads and Nepalese momos that has like a multi-nut sauce that goes with them. And it was just delightful, you know. And I used to be the designated baker. I did all the baking and everything, and I do miss that. But and then if I go to Oklahoma, where my other daughter's at, it's very traditional. You know, everything's traditional. And then afterward, you just want to go to bed and go to sleep. But after eating these vegetarian meals, you're exhilarated. Your energy is up. And so it's just two totally different things, and I absolutely adore both of them.
Patricia, thank you so much for calling in. And again, welcome to Illinois. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ken, what do you say to that? Let's say somebody does want to get, you know, maybe they don't have family members sort of pushing them to do it, but they want to get outside their comfort zone, make some new dishes this year. What would you tell them?
So we've heard twice already about the vegan and the vegetarian slant to things. And I would venture to say that for most Americans, for most people, going the vegetarian route and cooking vegetarian dishes is probably such a departure from their norm, because we generally put most of the emphasis on what that protein is going to be and think that we can't make it, we won't live without that protein, that major protein, but not realizing that you can actually have proteins from vegetables. You can have you can actually make a complete protein that'll have all 23 amino acids. For example, rice and beans, which we have gotten away from. So when you put those two together, you have a complete protein. It's the root vegetables, which we generally don't play with. Aside from potatoes, which is a tuber, people generally don't really cook carrots that much unless they cook them all the way down. I think someone's caller said that she's learned how to make vegetables without slathering them with cheese. Oh, well, vegetables are nature's little love notes, little love packages, because you don't have to do much to them. What I would venture to say is, if you can quickly cook them, then it's going to be better for you. Let's not overcook our greens, our green leafy vegetables. They do not require hours upon hours of cooking, because we lose all of the nutrients in them. So the less you cook them, the better off you will be, or the better off we will be. And let's see, let me think. So we got root vegetables, incorporate them, a little bit more of those in. And I will tell people, if they are stuck in a food jag, which is mean you eat the same thing over and over and over again, the next time you go to the grocery store, if you're used to picking up this item, just go two items over. you can go two items to the left, you can go two items to the right. Just pick a different item because it's probably going to be in the same category and look it up and see how to prepare it. Whether it be a quick roast, whether it be a braise. And so the difference between a roast and a braise, a roast is going to be a medium to high heat with a little bit of oil or fat around the outside of it, just so it can get some nice caramelization happening. And a braise is going to be a double cooking method. So it's going to start off with fat and high heat, and it's going to finish with a low and slow. And so a braise essentially is the same as a stew. And we have all had stew. And the only difference between something braised and something stewed is the size of it. So, I mean, who doesn't like a stew in the wintertime or braised meats? But you can also braise vegetables, like root vegetables. I'm trying to think, what am I missing?
I like that. Let me ask you, so you know, there are a lot of chefs who have great success in their careers without paying any attention to whether their recipes are healthy. Why is that important to you?
It's important to me because I'm getting older. And when I was younger, I did not care. I would, everything was, you know, as much cream and or butter and or bacon fat or whatever the case might be, I could possibly put into it until you start getting those reports about your cholesterol numbers or whatever the case might be. And obesity is crazy. And then the preventable diseases that we in our communities face, it'll cause you to look at it, particularly when you have a restaurant that is not, we have a restaurant that maybe some people's restaurants, like you mentioned, are destination restaurants, and some people's restaurants are everyday restaurants. And so you hear a lot of times people talk about eating out, and they say that, you know, eating out is not good food. It's like, wait a minute. What do you think we're doing in restaurants that is so vastly different than what you might do at home? Given the fact that we know what we're doing and we're using the best ingredients, what will make that bad food? And I think what they're trying to say is eating at quick service restaurants where things are mostly fried and or highly processed is not good for you. But there's nothing to say that eating at, you know, a nice restaurant where the food is expertly prepared by people who love what they do, that shouldn't be bad for you. But everything in moderation. So yes, I'm going to have some butter, which is really good for you. Butter is better for you than margarine. Go figure. You know, so I'd rather have the natural ingredients and prepare those foods naturally than have it artificial and preserved and such and so forth and made right then and there for me. That's what I'd rather have. And so for me, that's what I try to do with our food. We try to use as minimally processed things as possible, as fresh as possible, and get them to the people as quickly as possible and not overcook it.
You know, we're coming to the end of our time together, just a few minutes left. We are having this moment now where what our food is made of, what goes into it, whole foods, processed foods, is kind of in the national conversation now because of RFK Jr. We don't have to get into him in particular, but I wonder what you think about, you know, this idea that maybe, you know, there might be some change in the way the U.S. government regulates foods or what it recommends.
I absolutely think there's going to be some changes because we have to get back to the small farmers, people who know about what they're producing versus corporations who are just trying to profit off of what people are producing. And they're not even trying to profit off what people are producing. They're trying to profit off what people consume. And they're trying to homogenize people's diets or homogenize the food system. And the food system is not meant to be homogenized. It's meant to be very specific and very local and very indigenous, if you will. Because if I go to Idaho and eat a potato, I want the potato to taste like it came from Idaho, not from somewhere else. And so I think when we have localized foods and a localized food system and localized food sources, I think we'll be better off as a country, better off as people, and not having huge corporations homogenize everything that we get from the feed to to everything else. I don't think homogenization is the key, or making everything the same. Like, I want variety in my potatoes, in my tomatoes, in my carrots, and everything else. There should be variety, because that's how it naturally occurs. So I think the government is going to have their hands full at trying to figure out how to reverse or how to stop the slip and slide into, you know, mass corporate agenda. My two cents.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just about a minute left. Last thing I want to ask you about your YouTube channel. Again, it's Kenspiration Kitchen. How'd you get into that?
I wanted to help people cook. And I wanted to have conversations around cooking, because a lot of people are intimidated by cooking and think that it's way harder than it has to be. And a lot of people don't understand that restaurant chefs do still eat at home. And this is one way that we do it. And so I got into it by just trying to help people and show people what can be done at home with ingredients that you can find in any grocery store. So I'm not buying any special ingredients that you can't find in a local grocery store. And just having conversations around food, because, you know, the breaking of bread is community. And that's what I love. So that's why I started the show.
Yeah.
To cook with people and for people. And show people how to, what you can do at home with the simple ingredients.
Ken Polk is a chef and the host of Kenspiration Kitchen, which you can find on YouTube. Ken, this has been great. Thanks so much for making the time to be with us today.
Thank you so very much for having me.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow on the show, actually, it looks like we're going to continue on the food theme. We're going to be talking about what's known as cellular agriculture, or more colloquially put, lab-grown meat. This is something that is still in the very early stages, but not so early that the beef and cattle industry is not taking notice. In fact, there have been a couple of states that have passed laws outlawing the cultivation of meat in labs, and Illinois is a state where it has been proposed. It hasn't been enacted yet, but it is something that lawmakers are considering. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow on the 21st show, which is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer, Colson Khan, technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.